Good morning, everyone. Let me welcome you at the meeting of the Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics. And let me open this meeting by introducing the members of the PAC and also our guests. You can see on the screen members of the PAC. I will, of course, omit professor and so on, all these things. Pavel Alekseev, Lachezar Avramov, Martina Dubnichkova, Hartmut Fuss, he excused, unfortunately, Richard Hall-Wilton, Nikolai Kardiev, he also excused, Alexei Kuzmin, unfortunately as well, Pavel Mikula, let me introduce him, he is an old new member of the PAC, where are you? Okay, yeah. So he served already, I think, 6 years or something like this on this board until 10 years ago or 8 years ago, and now he's welcome again to join this company. Myself, Toby Pering, Rafael Saladino, he will come. He arrived already. Oh, great. Okay. Derek Sanga, Jan Wasicki, and our guests, invited guests, Alexander Joffe, hi Sasha, welcome you, from Jury, Germany, and ex-officio members appointed by the JNR, Georgi Adam, Pavel Appel, Oleg Bilov, our secretary, Alexander Belyushkin, Mihail Hnatic, Mihail Itkis, Yevgeny Krasavin, and of course, last but not least,
thank you.
Director General of JNR, Professor Matveyev. Our next item is the agenda. This agenda has been circulated in due time. As far as I know, we haven't received any comments. Are there any comments on this agenda? This does not seem to be the case, so I take the agenda as approved. And the next item is immediately a presentation on the previous PAC. It will be given by myself. So this is a report on the Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics, the 46th meeting, and its follow-up, both at the Scientific Council meeting as well as by the JNR Directorate. So that was the agenda of the meeting. I would not read it because that would take at least 20 minutes. You remember this agenda. I would only highlight some of the points. First of all, I think that was mainly maybe the most important point, the plans for the preparation of a concept for the JNR's new neutron source. And then we had two very important usual exercises, reports and proposals on themes and projects, and the scientific and technical achievements within concluding themes and projects. So let me start with the first one, the PAC recommendation about the development of a concept for a new neutron source at JNR. We had two presentations, one given by Alexander Vinogradov and the other by Norbert Kucherka. The PAC here is interested in these two reports, and the main points are that the PAC noted the growing need for neutrons in modern sciences, due to the unique properties of neutrons and its interaction with matter, nevertheless realized that at the same time the number of neutron sources constantly decreases worldwide since obsolete reactors are being shut down. And therefore, in this regard, the PAC considers starting the strategic planning of a possible project for GINAR's new neutron source, replacing IBR2 after the reactor shutdown, to be an important task, and took note of the presented plan for its implementation. We had a scientific council meeting last September, and the scientific council resolution about the development of the concept for a new neutron source at GINAR were the following. First, the scientific council took note of the results of the discussion held at the meeting of the PAC for condensed matter physics, of plans for preparation of a concept for GINAR's new neutron source replacing IBR2 after the decommissioning of the reactor. Secondly, the Scientific Council agreed that starting the strategic planning of a possible project for a new source is an important task, and welcomed the further follow-up of this activity by the PAC. Next, the first step in this planning process should be a comprehensive paper containing a clear science case and identifying the specific added value of the future GINAR neutron source within the global and European neutron source landscapes, as well as the realistic user needs. The Scientific Council appreciated the intention of the PAC to be involved in preparing this document, noting that regarding the principal parameters of the new facility, already in the preliminary design phase, attention should be paid to the needs of the scientific community. There was also an resolution was already partly implemented by the Fleurov laboratory, by the Planck laboratory of neutron physics. First, the preparation of the science case paper for the new source of the neutrons at the GINAR has been started. As far as I understand, it's still in a preliminary phase, and this PAC meeting should add further points to this. It will identify the future opportunities in various directions of condensed matter research and nuclear sciences while taking advantage of specifics not available to other neutron sources. And a group of experts experienced in long-term strategic planning has been established to guide the work. Again, this is only in a first phase, and our PAC meeting right now is welcome to add further comments to it. So at this meeting, we will hear two reports on further progress in development of a concept of neutron source presented by Professor Kucherka and Professor Shabalin. We will have a series of discussions, both today and also tomorrow at the general discussion and at our meeting with the GINAR Directorate. In particular, we shall certainly need to discuss in detail the timeline of ex-ante evaluation process, the milestones of which will be establishing an international expert group, publishing a short paper on the idea of the new facility, this is this comprehensive paper, elaborating and publishing a detailed science case, elaborating a detailed technical design report, elaborating the administrative and financial model for the construction, commissioning, operation, and decommissioning phases, and finally, the decision on the construction of the new facility. The second highlight was the Scientific Council resolution of the PAC recommendation concerning the FLNP user program. The Scientific Council acknowledged the high quality of the implementation of the IBR2 user program that made this basic GINAR facility one of the world's leading open access neutron sources. The successful operation of the IBR2 user program and the enhancement of its performance through instrumentation upgrades is a prerequisite to new GINAR neutron source. So these two points are not independent, just they are just supporting each other. There is a synergy between these two items. Today we will have a report and discussion about statistics of the user program implementation and organization of the proposal assessment. There was a resolution of the scientific council on evaluated themes and projects. The scientific council supported the PAX recommendations on the continuation of ongoing activities and opening of new themes and projects in condensed matter physics and related fields, appreciating the scientific and technical results obtained. In particular, just to remind you, you certainly remember, and I would not like to read now everything, there was a project on the investigation of condensed matter by modern neutron scattering method. This is, of course, the main project at IBR2 that was presented by Denis Kozlenko. And the recommendation was that this theme should be continued until the end of 2020, certainly also after that. A new project, a system for neutron operando monitoring and diagnostics of materials and interfaces for electrochemical energy storage devices at the IBR2 reactor was presented by Mikhail Advejev. And again, the PAX supported the opening of this project for the period 18-20 and encouraged cooperation with manufacturers. Furthermore, the PAC endorsed the implementation of additional sample environment facilities at the IBR2 reactor. There was a concluding theme development of experimental facilities for condensed matter investigations with beams of the IBR2 facility and the project development of the PTH sample environment system for the DN12 diffractometer at the IBR2. You may remember that there was some problem with the manufacturer who was building. So PTH means pressure, temperature, and magnetic field. The high temperature superconducting tape that did not that has not met the specifications, and that's why the suggestion was to extend this project together with the SIEM in order to resolve the situation with the supplier and to complete the project. That was also the PAC recommendation, so we supported extending this team until the end of 2020. The new project development of a wide aperture backscattering detector for the high resolution Fourier diffractometer was presented by Professor Kulikov. This project increases high resolution Fourier diffractometer detector solid angle coverage more than one order of magnitude, as well as enhancing its capabilities and improves the gamma neutron discrimination. The PAC recommendation was again positive. We recommended opening this new project for 18-20 within the framework of the SIEM development of experimental facilities for condensed matter investigations with beams of the IBR2 facility. We had a concluding team and a new project in Raman spectroscopy. The PAC noted the significant progress in the development of this theme, both the field of scientific research with a number of publications in high-impact journals and in the upgrade of trends in Raman spectroscopy, concretely the SECARS. This is the surface-enhanced coherence anti-Stokes Raman spectroscopy, microspectrometer modality based on four-wave mixing at plasmonic materials currently operating at world-class competitive level with respect to similar spectral analytical devices. And again, the recommendation was positive. We recommended opening this new theme in the period 18-20. We had a concluding team and a project, novel semiconductor detectors for fundamental and applied research. It was presented by Professor Kotov. The PAC highly appreciated the successful implementation of the project and in particular welcomed the JNR's membership in the Medipix collaboration. The PAC considered the proposal for extending the theme and project for the next 3 years to be well motivated based on previous achievements and aimed at the applied use of products of fundamental research. The funding request was reasonable, and therefore we again recommended extending this theme and project until the end of 2020. The project PAC, the positron annihilation spectroscopy, you remember that is closely related with the laptop project, but this is really the condensed matter application. The PAC noted with satisfaction the progress in the development of the positron annihilation spectroscopy method at the laptop facility at the Zhilebov laboratory, including construction of a specialized channel of slow monochromatic positrons and elaboration of a proposal for the formation of the ordering flux of positrons based on the SMP, which allows one to implement in the near future the positron annihilation lifetime spectroscopy. The implementation of the program presented in this project will bring the facility to a qualitatively new level, opening new opportunities for experimental research in condensed matter physics and material sciences, and therefore we recommended the extension of this project until the end of 2020 for its implementation under the theme novel semiconductor detectors for fundamental and applied research. We had a concluding theme and project research on the biological effect of heavy charged particles within different energies and the proposal for its extension presented by Professor Krasavin. The PAC noted that addressing the fundamental and practical problems urgently requires that the regularities of and the mechanisms of the heavy charged particle effects be studied in detail at the molecular, cellular, tissue, and organismal levels of biological models. The approach is developed at the Laboratory for Radiation Biology to the problem and studies of chromosomal instability in mammalian and human cell during their responses to exposure of different types of ionizing radiation at low doses will allow clearing up the mechanisms behind these reactions and evaluating the contribution of physicochemical processes and inducible repair mechanisms to their realization. In turn, these studies will allow the assessment of the system's integrity violation manifesting as cognitive and behavioral disorder. The PAC recommendation was that the presented proposal was well formulated and therefore recommended its extension of until the end of 2020. And finally, we had a suggestion for the agenda of the present meeting. This is already, of course, partly outdated because we have just approved it. So I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Professor Nagy. Maybe colleagues, you have any questions, please, or remarks? If not, let me thank once more.
Thank you very much. Next speaker is Professor Itkis, and as usual, he will give some information about the resolution of the last Scientific Council meeting, as well as of that of the meeting of the plenipotentiaries.
Thank you. Good morning to everybody. I can start. The 122th session of Scientific Council took place in September 1819, last year. It was chaired by our director Viktor Matveev and co-chaired by Professor Mikhail Valigursky from Poland. The agenda of this meeting report of director, progress report of concerning the super heavy element factory presented by Sergei Dmitriev and NICA project presented by Vladimir Kikilidze. Scientific report, the quest for phase transition and strongly interacting matter presented by Rustama, the probing dense matter at NICA energies with dileptons, prospects and challenges presented by Ishak Tseruya. Recommendation of program advisory committees presented by Ishak Tseruya, Marek Levitovich and Danish Nagy. Membership of program advisory committees presented by me. Reports by young scientists as recommended by program advisory committees, Jan Tsiitov and Bela Kopytova. Awards and prizes, election of director of Bogoliubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics and announcement of vacancies of position in the directorate of our laboratories. The Scientific Council took note of the comprehensive report by our director Viktor Matveyev presenting in in-depth analysis of the role and place of our institute in the world's fundamental nuclear physics science and covering the decision of the latest session of the our Committee of Learning Potentials, March 2017. The progress in implementing the our scientific program in the first starting year of the new seven-year plan and major events in the activities of our institute and its international cooperation. Scientific Council was pleased to note the important strategic plans for our achieve new scientific and technological results of high significance in 2017-2023, in particular in the process of realizing and launching the NICA Megas project in the factory of super heavy elements and in expanding the spectrometer complex of IBR2 reactor and the user program at this facility. The Scientific Council highly appreciated the efforts undertaken by the... Oh, sorry. What happened? Okay. So, the Scientific Council highly appreciates the efforts undertaken by our directorate towards developing the Institute's research infrastructure, integrating into European scientific landscape. It notes, in particular, the inclusion in 2017 of the NICA accelerator complex and the super heavy element factory in the NUPEC long-range plan, Perspectives in Nuclear Physics. The Scientific Council congratulated our institute on the inauguration of the names of new super heavy elements, moscovium, tennessine, and agonison synthesized at the Fleurov Laboratory of Nuclear Reaction, which was held in Moscow on 2nd March last year. The Scientific Council welcomed the signing of new agreement on cooperation between our institute and INFN Italy, which took place in Moscow on the April 12, 2017, in the presence of the President of Italian Republic, Mattarella. The Scientific Council emphasized the importance of elaboration of our new strategic plan based on long-term future of our laboratories and wish to be informed about the strategic planning process and timeline. The Scientific Council took note of the appointment of Alexander Sorin as the Chief Scientific Secretary and Boris Gekal as Chief Engineer of our Institute. The Scientific Council thanked their predecessor, Nikolai Rusakovich and Grigory Shirkov, their long-term successful work. The Scientific Council was pleased to learn of the appointment of the Grigory Trubnikov, Deputy Minister of Education and Science of Russian Federation, as plenipotentiary of government of Russian Federation to our institute and wish him successful work in this two responsible position. The Scientific Council appreciates the new brochures of our activities and facilities recently published and distributed at the session and encourages further efforts to enhance the international visibility of our science and communications. Scientific Council took note of the report of Fleurov Laboratory Director Sergei Dmitriev, status of factory of super heavy element and its future prospects. Given the high priority of the research work on the synthesis of super heavy element and study of their properties, the Scientific Council recommended that our directorate and directorate of Fleurov Laboratory ensure the implementation of programs of the further development of super heavy element factory, construction of new and upgrade of existing physics instruments for the studies of chemical and nuclear properties of super heavy element. The Scientific Council took note the report of Director Vector Baldin Laboratory of High Energy Physics, Vladimir Kikilidze, progress of NUCA project. The Scientific Council note with satisfaction the very good progress in implementing this flagship project of Institute, which has been recognized as the important element of European research infrastructure. The Scientific Council appreciated the successful development of nucleotron NICA accelerator complex, including the recent production of polarized proton beams with a new source of polarized particles, the ongoing construction of booster for which the electron colliding system was manufactured by Butker Institute of Nuclear Physics in Novosibirsk and delivered to our institute. And with the progress of the civil construction for the collider, a large amount of work is being done by the baryonic meton nucleotron and MPD collaboration to develop the detectors and their subsystem. Efforts have been undertaken to enhance this collaboration by new participants. On the whole, Scientific Council recommended the dynamic progress of the NICA project, encouraged further expansion of the international collaboration around the planned experiments, and expressed hope that the challenging work for the NICA complex would be successfully continued. The Scientific Council took note of the recommendation made by Program Advisory Committees at their meeting in June 2017, as reported at this session by chairman of this program advisory committee and member of program advisory committee for condensed metaphysics. The Scientific Council proposed our directorate should take this recommendation into account in preparing our topical plan of research and international cooperation for 2018. This recommendation are documented in detail in your program advisory committee's minutes. As proposed by our directorate, Scientific Council appointed Danish Naj from Budapest, Hungary, as chairman of Program Advisory Committee for Condensed Matter Physics, and Pete Mikula from Czech Republic as new member of this Program Advisory Committee, each for a term of 3 years. The Scientific Council also appointed the Musa from CERN Geneva as a new member of Program Advisory Committee for Particle Physics for term of 3 years. The Scientific Council appreciated the following report by young scientists, which were recommended by Program Advisory Committee for presentation at this session. First, investigation of exotic states in light nuclei, and neurochemical alteration in central nervous system of rodents and after exposure to different radiation modalities, presented by Yansiitov and Belokopytova, Yansiitov from Bogolyubov laboratory and Belokopytov laboratory of radiation biology. Scientific Council congratulate Professor Wong from Beijing, China, Professor Kim from Seoul University, Korea, and Koshiro Nishikawa from Keck, Tsukuba, Japan, on the award of the Bruno Pontecorvo Prize for their outstanding contribution to the study of neutrino oscillation phenomena and to the measurement of the theta-1-3 mixing angle in the Dia Bay, RENA, and T2K experiments. The Scientific Council thanks them for their excellent presentations. The Scientific Council congratulated the winners of our annual prizes for best papers in the field of scientific research, instruments and methods, and applied research. Scientific Council elected Dmitry Kazakov as director of Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics for the term of 5 years. The Scientific Council sent Viktor Voronov for his successful tenure as director of this laboratory. The Scientific Council announced the vacancies of position of Deputy Director of Bogolyubov Laboratory. The endorsement of appointment of the Deputy Director will be held at the 123rd session of Scientific Council in February of this year. Scientific Council announced the vacancies of position of Director of Zhelepov Laboratory of Nuclear Problems and of the Director of Florov Laboratory of Nuclear Reaction. The election will take place on the 124th session of Scientific Council in September of this year. A regular session of Committee of Plenipotentiary of Governments of the our member states was held in Dubna on 24th-25th November last year. It was chaired by Plenipotentiary of Russian Federation, Grigory Trudnikov. Agenda of this meeting: recommendation of previous session of our Scientific Council, brief overview of the result of our activities in 2017 and plans for 2018 presented by our director Viktor Matveev, draft budget of our Institute for year 2018, draft contribution of the member states for the years 2019-2020 and 2021 presented by Sergei Dotsenko, progress in of implementation NICA complex project and proposal for spending the special purpose funds allocated by the Russian Federation in accordance with the agreement between the government of Russian Federation and our institute dated 2 June 2016, presented by Vladimir Kekelidze and Richard Lednitsky. Result of meeting of our finance committee held on 21-22 November last year, presented by Arsen Khvedelidze. Information from the our delegation about the meeting at the Ministry of Education and Science of Ukraine and about the workshop at the Academy of Science on the Republic of Uzbekistan, presented by me. Result of the audit of our financial activities for year 2015, presented by Korsakov. Improvement on procurement activities of our institute, presented by Richard Lednitsky. Amendment proposed of the rule of procedure of our Scientific Council, presented by Alexander Sorin. Our participation in the Russian Federation targeted research program within framework of international cooperation with institution of People's Republic of China, presented by Хаджибаян, status of factory of super heavy element, presented by Sergei Dmitriev. Concerning the report presented by our director, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries took note of the recommendation of 122nd session of the our Scientific Council of the information by the our directorate on implementation of the our plan of research and international cooperation in 2017. The first starting year of the new 7-year plan for the development of institute as well as the priorities of our activities in this year. The Committee of Plenipotentiary approved recommendation previous session of Scientific Council at the our topical plan of research in international cooperation for 2018. The Committee Plenipotentiary notes the importance of for our institute to elaborate a new strategic plan for the long-term development of our laboratories and request the our directorate to present regular information on the work in this direction. The Committee Plenipotentiary took note of the initiative of our directorate and the Republic of Poland about intention to jointly establish a laboratory for structural research of macromolecules and new materials and the Solaris National Synchrotron Radiation Center of Jagiellon University in Krakow, Poland, and commission the directorate to continue this work. Today we will have a special talk about this project, presented by Valery Shvitsov. The committee plenipotentiary commissioned the our directorate to organize open international competition in 2018 for researchers and postgraduates to fill vacancies of position in our priority scientific projects. The committee plenipotentiary recommended the our directorate organize a special purpose grant program in 2018 to stimulate the participation of scientists of the member states and other countries in the implementation of the NICA project. The committee plenipotentiary welcomes the decision taken by the government of Russian Federation on the August 2003 last year, according to which our institute has received the right to confer academic degree and suggested the plenipotentiary should facilitate the procedure of recognizing the our degree diplomas in the member states. The committee plenipotentiary accepted the proposal of our directorate to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the accession of the Institute of a group of independent states by holding a festive meeting dedicated to this event on the 26th March this year. Concerning the report of draft budget of our institute for year 2018, draft contribution of the member state for years 2019-20 and 2021, presented by Sergei Dotsenko, the committee plenipotentiaries approved our budget for year 2018 with a total expenditure amounting by $207 million and the scale of contribution of the member states for this year. Approve the contribution of the member states for 2018 and the payment of contribution areas of the member state for this year. Determine the provisional volumes of the our budget and income and expenditure for year 2019 amounting $205 million, for year 2020 amounting $208 million, for year 2021 amount $212 million, as well as the provisional amounts of the member state contribution for this year. Allow the our directorate to index the salary and tariff parts of the compensation package of the staff members, taking into account the possibilities afforded by our budget in 2018 in accordance with our collective bargaining agreement for 2017-2020. Concerning the report progress of implementing the NICA complex project and proposal for spending the special purpose funds allocated by Russian Federation in accordance with agreement between government of Russian Federation and our Institute on Construction Exploitation of the NICA complex dated from June 2016, presented by Kikilidze, Director Laboratory of Wexler Baldwin Laboratory and Richard Lednitsky, Vice Director of our Institute, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries took note of the progress in implementing the project of NICA complex in accordance with 7-year plan for the development institute in next 7 years and with the off-site agreement that recognize the scientific and technological achievement in this project. Approved for the year 2018 the our budget for use the special purpose funds of Russian Federation allocated in accordance with agreement in the amount of 5,400 million rubles, approximately, it means around $90 million. Adopted the provisional volume of the our budget for use of the special purpose funds of the Russian Federation for year 2019 with a total expenditure of 1,500 million rubles and for year 2020 with the total expenditure of around 1,000 million rubles. The committee plenipotentiary notes that in 2013-2015, prior to the signing of the agreement, work has performed on a number of objects of the basic configuration of NICA complex in the amount of 2 1,800 million rubles using the budgetary funds of our institute and those of other countries. In view of the forthcoming discussion of the preliminary results and immediate plans for implementing the agreement at the meeting of the supervisory board of NUCA complex project, the Committee of Plenipotentiary stated that it fully guarantees implementation of our obligation stipulated by the agreement. Concerning the report, the result of meeting of our finance committee held in November last year, presented by Arsen Kvedelidze, plenipotentiary of Georgia, to our institute, the Committee of Plenipotentiary approved the protocol of meeting of the finance committee held on this meeting, approved the rules of procedure of Committee of Plenipotentiaries of the governments of the member states, and the rules of procedure of finance committee of our institute. Commission of our directorate to prepare a draft roadmap for the work on the regulation of our for our staff and forward it to the member of working group under the committee plenipotentiary chairman for financial issues by the 1st February of this year. Concerning the information from our delegation about the meeting at the Ministry of Education and Science of Ukraine and about the workshop of at the Academy of Science of the Republic of Uzbekistan presented by me, the Committee Plenipotentiaries recommended that our directorate should continue work on the implementation of mutually acceptable model of cooperation between our institute and Ukraine. Recommended that the note should be taken of the information on the negotiation of our representative with high officials of the Republic of Uzbekistan on measures to restore the activities of Republic of Uzbekistan in our institute. Concerning the report, our participation of our institute in Russian targeted research program within framework of international cooperation with institutions of China, presented by Haji Bagyan, Deputy Director of Science of Vector Balgan Laboratories, the Committee of Plenipotentiary expressed its consent to our participation in the competition of the Ministry of Education and Science of Russian Federation on activity conducting studies on selected priority areas and involving research organization and universities in China. Within the framework of the federal target program, research and development in the priority areas of advancement of the Russian scientific and technological complex for 2014-2020 in the following activities. Development of linear superconducting accelerator for NICA and China accelerator complexes, research for the preparation of technical proposal for energy storage device made in China material for the NICA project, production of pilot batch of modules for the electromagnetic calorimeter of multipurpose detector at the NICA collider, and development of stochastic cooling system for NICA. Concerning the report of status of factory super heavy element presented by Sergei Dmitriev, the Committee of Plenipotentiaries notes that phase one of construction of factory of super heavy element has entered its final stage. The civil construction work and installation of the DC-280 cyclotron are planned to be completed in the late December 2017. The startup and adjustment work for cyclotron engineering system of building in January-April 2018, the startup of new gas field recoil separator in June-July 2018, the preparation and performance of first experiments in September-November this year. The committee recommended that our directorate take all necessary measures to ensure the implementation of the schedule plan for startup and commission of super heavy element factory, experimental building, accelerator, and new gas field recoil separator. Concerning the report improvement of the procurement activities of our institute presented by Richard Lednitsky, the Committee of Plenipotentiary approved the action of our directorate toward improving the procurement activities of institute. Noted the importance of conducting effective procurement procedure, taking into account the volumes of funding the institute. Concerning the report, amendment proposed to the rules of procedure of our scientific council presented by Alexander Sorin, Chief Scientific Secretary, the Committee of Plenipotentiary allowed the endorsement of appointment of deputy directors of the Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics to be held on the 123rd session of the Scientific Council, which 1 month later approved the following amendment to the corresponding paragraph item 2 in the regulation for election of directors and for the endorsed appointment of deputy directors of our laboratories, which constitutes the annex to the current rules of procedure of the Scientific Council of our institute approved at the Plenipotentiary Committee session in March 2013. The announcement of vacancy for the position of laboratory deputy director is made by the Scientific Council with subsequent endorsement of the appointment to this position at the session following the session which announced the vacancy. The Committee of Plenipotentiary congratulated Academician Viktor Matveyev, director of our institute, on having been awarded the Order of Russian Federation for merit to the Fatherland, third class, and the Order of Merit of the French Republic. The committee also congratulated academician Yuri Aganisyan, scientific leader of Flerov Laboratory of Nuclear Reaction, on having been awarded the Order of Russian Federation for merit to Fatherland, second class. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Professor Itkis, for this very informative presentation. I wonder where there are some questions or comments on it. This does not seem to be the case, so thanks once again. And let me announce now that we will start the discussion on the new GINR neutron source. It will start with two presentations and a coffee break in between, which is also very important, of course. I would like to suggest that we have a common discussion after the second talk. So after Professor Kucherka's talk, you will be invited to raise only immediate questions. So if you agree with this procedure, then let me ask Norbert to make a presentation.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Well, it is my pleasure to be here again today, reporting to you on development on the progress we have made in creating the scientific case for a new source of neutrons at GINR. I take it as a good sign that this theme became a theme of a popular demand, especially at these PAC meetings. Let me start with the stating the objective of the presentation and the work which is behind it. Well, when we look into the charter of the Joint Institute for Nuclear Research that was actually created right at the beginning of the institute, it gives us the mandate. It orders us. It gives us a task to perform studies, perform research in three main research fields, which is elementary particle physics, nuclear physics, and the third one is the physics of condensed states of matter using nuclear methods. So our work, my work, our work in the laboratory, in the institute, and also the common work with this PAC, with the members of this PAC, is to fulfill this charter, to fulfill the task we have been given by the charter. So we're talking about the condensed matter physics, right? And I believe everybody here knows what that means. Just to remind perhaps those that are not immediately connected to the condensed matter physics, that this kind of field, this kind of physics, this kind of research, really is the one of the broadest field of the physics, looking into the very fine properties on the very fine scales of the matter. On the other hand, also interconnecting these fine properties with the large scale properties that appear in the material world all around us. So it's really the science that has an impact on our everyday life, and it has an impact in various fields of research of the science. Of course, starting with the physics, but also going through the chemistry, even biology, geology, and astronomy, and of course pretty much all the fields of engineering. And so I have already mentioned that because of this research, the results obtained in this results in this research have really a huge impact on our improving of our everyday life. One of the probably best examples, one of the highlights of the last century, are the results of the research in semiconductors that resulted in the discovery of the transistor, later integrated circuit, and it was all transferred into the pretty much all the electronics we have today. And so, thanks to the research in the field of condensed matter physics done in 50s last century, we are able to have all the electronics, all the modern electronics that we use every day today. Of course, because that field is very wide, and also that even though there has been huge progress and a lot of results achieved already, there is still a lot of questions and challenges open for the future, because there have been a lot of attempts to somehow collect these grand questions, and you can go through the literature and internet forever and forever. But most of them actually are connected to the power. We know that at the moment, and for the future, these are the most important questions for the human being. So it's the generation and storage of the energy, and of course it goes also into the questions about the physics of life, and so it goes into more soft and biologically related matter. Anyway, so by showing this slide, I just want to highlight that there are still challenges in condensed matter physics that needs to be addressed, and by doing this research, being in the field of this research, we can actually contribute highly in any of these questions. Of course, because of that very specific definition of the methodology that we are supposed to use here at JINR, we are supposed to do the research, condensed matter physics research, using nuclear methods. And so, of course, it is not possible to, at any given institute, it's not possible to cover all the questions and all the different directions as I have outlined them there. And so, it makes sense to select a specific direction. So for us, it's using the nuclear methods. And to explain this, we can actually use the. We can support this by the poster presented by the Clifford Shull and Brockhaus and Bertram Brockhaus, given the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1994, who showed the use of neutrons, neutron scattering, for researching the condensed matter physics, and for actually establishing this field, where they showed that condensed matter, where the properties can be studied in terms of the structure and dynamics using the neutrons. I always very like to quote the Brockhaus's quote, saying that it might well be said that if the neutron did not exist, it would actually need to be invented. So he was very, very enthusiastic about the neutrons, and so are a lot of people around here and in our institute. We have actually seen a presentation a year, actually exactly a year from ago, by Viktor Lazarevich Aksionov, who showed the, in general terms, the niche, the role of the neutrons in this kind of research, showing that they really do find a place in hard matter research, in even soft and light matter. They have even a role in establishing or discovering new physics that that is unknown at the moment. And they have, of course, outside the condensed matter physics, they have also a role in the nuclear science, in the research of nuclear properties. Let me go into a little bit more, select a little bit in more details the directions where the neutron scattering can be used for the condensed matter research. That is especially, that is specifically linked to the research that is done at our institute. So going a little bit, stepping back from that general overview, we know that at GINER, well, these are the directions in the condensed matter research that, that we do, that that are done at different, even different laboratories. So it's a solid liquid states of matter. Of course, there is research in terms of novel functional materials, nanomaterials, surfaces and interfaces, and going in the direction of polymers, soft matter. And of course, as I have already mentioned, engineering structures. And now, due to that addition that this research is done by the nuclear methods, it naturally, most of that research is naturally focused on the laboratory, especially the experimental part of the research is focused onto the Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics, right? And so at this laboratory, we do this research thanks to having a facility pretty much from the beginning of the laboratory, which is very close to the beginning of the institute as well. And so the condensed matter physics is being researched there for last 60 years thanks to various sources of the neutrons. Most recently, of course, it is the IBR2 reactor that everybody here have heard about many times already. It's not only the reactor, of course, that allows us to do the research there. We have, over the years, we have established a very well-working user program that allows us to do the research, not only the scientists of our laboratory and our institute, but also to welcome scientists from abroad, from other institutions. And this allows us to cover really quite a wide range of condensed matter physics that is being done in research and at our laboratory. We have we can document it on the results that that we achieved. Just looking for the results over the last couple of years. Well, first of all, these documents that really in the laboratory of the neutron physics. Roughly about half of the research is done at in the field of condensed matter physics, compared to the other mostly nuclear and applied physics that is that covers the other half. Now, when we look only at the part of the condensed matter, we see that over last 5 years since the modernization of the IBR2 reactor, we are reaching very nice. Nice level of the publication outcome yearly from the institute from the laboratory, and well, I'm not going to go into too much details, but in dividing this number of publications in, among different instruments, I will actually do it in on the following slides. So there's a couple of the directions that are really outstanding and that we have long-term expertise in, and we have proved over and over that we are that we can do very well. Of course, it's a, it of course it is a crystal and magnetic structure. This is this is not supposed to come as a surprise when we're talking about doing this research using neutron scattering. It's very natural that neutrons are used for researching the magnetic properties, and of course crystal structure comes from the comes as a together with it. We have achieved and published very nice results even recently researching novel materials, researching properties of novel materials, and shedding more light on the nanostructures, on the material properties of the material that again can be used for future applications for advancements in our everyday lives. So one of the directions is definitely crystal and magnetic structures of novel materials. Now, thanks to the mode of the operation of our neutron source, it is also very natural to perform the real time studies. Thanks to that, we have very nice results where the batteries, lithium-based batteries, structure of these batteries have been researched while operating, going through the cycles of charging and discharging, and looking actually at the material, at the structural properties of the material used there, which again allows to improve the material used in these batteries. Of course, it's a crystallographic texture and strain measurements. So again, this is very natural coming from the from having for using neutrons. We can measure the texture and strain in huge pieces of material, because most of those materials is transparent to neutrons. I'm not going to go in too much details because especially at this SPAC meetings we have seen these results already. So this is just highlighting these directions. One of them, this actually development of last couple of years, when we have established the sort of a new methodology of looking at the material using neutron radiography and tomography, and we are already harvesting some of the results as shown here, and judging by the demand that people want to use this method, this is one of the prospective methods that will be used also in the future. We have long-term experience in neutron inelastic scattering, right? You have you have heard about it, about this, and you have seen a lot of reports showing the results from this kind of technique. Well, it is one of the techniques that I'm actually going to start to point out also some of the problems, some of the limitations that we are facing at the moment. So compared to other facilities, well, especially in our particular case, one of the biggest limitations is that the size of the samples, right? At the moment, we have to use quite large amounts of samples for these measurements to get good statistics, to get good results. This is, of course, in some of the cases, in many cases, this can be a limitation. And so we have to work around to improve this. Of course, one of the straightforward ways to improve this is the increasing the number of neutrons, increasing the flux of the neutrons, right? And this is actually the case also when going into more and more disordered material, so going into the direction of going to the soft material and bio-related material. Again, we have examples where we have achieved very good results using using neutron scattering in general, where we can really characterize the objects. We can look at their structures, at their properties. But in answering some of the it's not enough for answering some of the questions. And of course, this again comes one of the reasons this comes up. It's a low flux, right? It's always either a flux or the resolution. It's a trade-off, as always in the experimental approaches, especially in the scattering. And so, again, the straightforward way to improve it is to improve the flux of the source. This is, of course, the using the different techniques for describing, for researching the different materials is, of course, not the case typical to us. It's actually a trend in everywhere, all over the world. And so, well, in this case, it's a combination of using neutron scattering and X-ray scattering. But we can see it in the examples also published anywhere around the world, in the other institutes, other even neutron centers as well. And so the example from the ILL in Grenoble, where they have achieved very nice results quite recently, again in the field of the soft material and even more biologically related soft material, where they were researching the structure and the effect of the amyloid peptides. Anyway, the results that they achieved are the results of the combination of the multi-techniques. It's a multi-technique study of this material. So it's not typical to us, and we should try to take advantage of the other techniques as well as the other institutes do it. Now, what actually striking about the example I'm showing here, the results shown here and what's recently being the case for most of these examples, they show sort of a status quo of the model. So they show how these amyloid, how these aggregates form, and that they form. And of course, from the biological point of view, we know that these aggregates, amyloid aggregates, are bad for the organism, because they eventually create the, in this case, the Alzheimer's disease, right? None of these studies, unfortunately, gives the idea about how to prevent it or how to even cure it. And so, little bit of the vision for the future, as I was looking at these results, would be the vision. I can envision to come up with some material or some membranes, of course, or something that will encapsulate these aggregates and eventually will take them away from the body. Now, why I'm mentioning this is because at the picture that I'm showing here, we actually have now the several topologies. We have the planar sheet there, and we have some spherical objects. And we need to come up with some methodology that will be able to measure and characterize both of these, the whole system, the system in a whole. And actually, it struck me that at the moment we actually have a instrument, we have a reflectometer, where very similar research, especially the similar in terms of the, having these two different topologies, have been done in our laboratory, right? That was measuring the properties of the nanomaterials, nanoparticles, in the bulk and at the surface. This is exactly, this can be related to the question, to the task that I have just outlined in the picture over there. So there is some kind of envision that going from the pretty much what we can do at the moment, what we have been doing so far, what we are doing at the moment, and giving a little bit of the outlook, what can be done in the future. And this hopefully can be done in quite a near future, because we know that since I was talking about the Alzheimer's disease, this is going to be a huge problem for humanity in the following future, right? It's going to impact both economic part and the social part as well. And so we are hoping that all of these can be researched using the neutrons, and that's thanks to the very specific, very special properties of the neutrons, right? Of course, I have been presenting this some time ago, and this can be taken as an old song, right? Repeating over and over these three properties of the neutron. On the other hand, these are the very specific properties that make neutrons very specific probe, that give neutrons the advantage, especially in the studies of condensed matter physics. So we shouldn't be trying to avoid these properties. Rather, we should take full advantage of them, and as well as the other institutes, the other researchers do it. Now, I've already mentioned that one of the problems in doing the research based on the neutron scattering is the flux. Of course, we know these tables, and especially when comparing to X-ray sources and synchrotron sources and free lasers that appeared recently, we know that fluxes of the neutron sources are not as close as compared to these X-ray sources. And well, at the moment there is pretty much nothing that we can do about it. On the other hand, it's not really fair to do the direct comparison between these two. As I said, there are very specific properties of neutrons that give them advantage in addition to the flux. On the other hand, And so in our group, in the work that I've also presented on the meeting in June, we are aware of these other properties, of the other parameters that are also important for the source of the neutrons, and we have been discussing them. Of course, first of them, and the one that is most straightforward is the flux again. And so there is some limitation that, with regards to building a new source, we would really not want to have less than that, right? We need to be moving forward, and so there is a limitation. There is a stepstone that, in terms of the flux of the neutrons, that we cannot go much lower. The other parameters in focus, the other parameters that we have recognized as being important, are the, of course, background, the range of wavelengths, the resolution. As I have already mentioned, there is always a trade-off between the resolution and flux that can be manipulating. And of course, it's a pulse width. This is one of the parameters that we have recognized that even at the moment, the range of experiments that are performed at IBR and for the future might require different modes of operation. So we are actually thinking about having possibility of having two lines or several lines, having possibilities to manipulate to control the pulse width, because for different experiments, for different physics, it's there are different pulses important. Of course, there is also the important fact that has been recognized also and mentioned here at the meeting last June, is that the new source need to be built together or in mind together with the spectrometers, and so there need to be optimization of the system source and instruments and spectrometers, right? And so again. This is something that that we need to account for, and that will need to be part of that. It's going to be part of that scientific case that we are creating. And just a reminder on with regards to the flux, increasing the flux, as I was already pointing out. Well, this is based on the discussions, based on the parameters that I have shown previously. This is sort of the this is a proposition, the concept, proposition for the concept of the new source that actually promises very high flux, very high flux, and it is we are thinking about placing it in the region that compared to the other neutron sources around the world. So this is comparison with the ESS pulsed source that will become operational in 2019 or 2020, and there are other other pulsed sources shown here, and there is also the steady state reactor at ILL, and so we are looking for our place within the landscape of these instruments, and but not only. Not only the place looking at the other instruments, but also looking at what we do at the moment, what we have, what kind of expertise we have, and so based on the all these discussions, we are finding ourselves best positioned in this region. So staying with the pulsed source and trying to increase. Well, I'm saying about the huge increase of the flux. Of the neutrons. Now, I'm coming to the. These are not the final conclusions yet. These are the conclusions more on the part about the past and perhaps a little bit about the current time, where we see for what we have documented for many times. We have we can we have. Publications we have reports that that show that that physics of condensed states of matter using nuclear methods is well aligned with the scientific program of GINA. So we are standing right where we are we supposed to be at our institute. The neutron source, especially the pulsed neutron source, as I have trying to emphasize several times at the GINA, fit well within the. Within the landscape of the neutron sources, geographically and again historically. So we do have expertise for this, and it would not make that much sense to try to do to start something from the scratch. But we should really take advantage of what we have developed over last 60 years. And so thanks to that, thanks to this, at the GINA, at the moment we have several. Well-established competencies in the research of condensed matter physics. These are, of course, the crystal and magnetic structures of novel materials, real-time studies, crystallographic texture and strain measurements, neutron radiography and tomography, neutron inelastic scattering. Now, as I already mentioned, going into more disordered materials, going into the direction of bio-related research, we do recognize that we have more effort to do. There is more effort to need it, right? And this is sort of a natural result because we know that when we look at the models, when we look into the field of soft condensed matter, we know that for overall whatever 50 years, the models, the understanding of these systems was changing, was improving, and where it became, went from a very simple system, from very simple models of these complex systems, into really very complex systems in biologically related research. And so these are the challenges for the researchers, for the experimenters looking at these objects, because now they have to account for the whole jungle in that in those systems compared to what we were thinking at the beginning. On the other hand, we know that we know and we have the again the documentation that this kind of research is rewarded, is it is recognized by high level journals results, even results looking at these systems using neutron scattering, they do get on the covers of various high-level journals. So there is a justification for doing this kind of research, trying to look at the complex systems rather than staying with the old simple systems. Now, when talking about more biologically related research, it's not only the source that is needed, right? It's not only the scattering techniques and the scattering, it's the people doing the scattering. It's also the people understanding the biology, understanding the crystals, the people that that can work with these kind of complex systems. So it's the expertise also, not only in the condensed matter physics or in the neutron or scattering in general. And we recognize at the moment in our laboratory, in our institute, we don't have very, very strong representation of this. So we need to work further in this direction. And one of the attempts that we do, for example, in our laboratory, in this direction, there are very active discussions about going into the collaborative project in building the laboratory for structural research at the Solaris Synchrotron in Poland, where all of these directions that I have mentioned, especially the directions of the biologically related research, will be done, and where our people, where our laboratory can gain the expertise, where we can gain the competencies in this field, which later on, of course, we can bring it, and hopefully with the new source of neutrons that will allow us to perform these kind of experiments, we will be ready to do them at home. Now, when giving a little bit of visions for the future, there is another field, another direction that I have been following for a couple of years now, and that we have recognized as a possibility for further opportunity for the future source of neutrons, and that's a holography. The very interesting and intriguing property of the holography is that holography actually doesn't need very perfect crystals, and this is often very problematic part for the diffraction, where the really perfect crystals are needed to get the diffraction, a lot of diffraction orders, and to be able to solve the structure. In terms of disordered materials, in terms of the well, actually, this goes from hard matter, but also to that soft matter and biologically related material, where especially the membrane proteins, in many cases, cannot be crystallized, or in better cases, they create only poor crystals. And so, if we had the methodology that can actually resolve the structure of these poor crystals, it would open wide opportunities, new opportunities for studying a huge range of new objects that are not being able to be researched, to be able to be defined by other techniques. And so, in terms of the holography, actually, it was established, it was designed in the 50s. But for many years, it was a domain of just visible light, which of course doesn't allow it to go into the atomic resolutions. With more development in 80s and 90s, people were actually able to perform some electron and X-rays holograms, and later on also the using monochromatic neutrons. But you can see that using monochromatic neutrons, especially at the sources compared to the synchrotron sources as the sources of X-rays, you can see that there is a lot of problems with the flux again, right? And so it was actually very nice to see recently very recent advancement where it was shown that neutron holography can be done with the multiple wavelength neutron, so being done at the pulsed sources. So this is one of the possible directions, one of the opportunities that we can follow at the sources, at the instruments that we are experienced with, that we have at the moment. And if we are able to increase the flux, and we'll be able to actually perform such experiments and establish such method, we will it will result in a spruce of a whole new field in the condensed matter research. And so I'm coming to the summary of my talk. So these are the summaries related to the scientific case that we are working on, that we are going to publish with regards to the new source of neutrons at GINR, and we recognize that it need to be aligned with the scientific program for the condensed matter physics using nuclear methods, and it should be based on three main pillars. So first of them, of course, it's a maintenance of established excellence. So the continuation of the expertise that we have at the moment, that we have been building for last 60 years, right? I'm definitely not saying that it's going to be low-hanging fruit, but nevertheless, we should start picking the fruits of the trees that have been planted here, right? And so we should really take advantage of what we can do, what we are good at. On the other hand, we also need to follow the trends. We need to make sure that we take the full advantage of the source of the neutrons, of the techniques that we have and can have here at home. And so we need to follow the world trends in neutrons going more into the soft and light matter in a complex biology systems. There is, as I have highlighted, trying to highlight, there is more work that we need to do, but again, it's a work that that will bring results eventually. After all, I mean, the thing that all the neutron institutes, all the neutron centers do that, it means something, right? We shouldn't avoid it. And finally, one of the pillars should definitely be open to new challenges and new opportunities. I have just mentioned holography as one very promising technique and very promising methodology that can be established at such source and that can have very good future. But of course, we are talking about the new source and the scientific program of the facility that will start work 20 or 30 years from now, and so it's very hard to foresee what's going to be important at those times. And so, still, there needs to be an opening. There needs to be a point that will allow these new opportunities to being materialized in the scientific program. And with this, I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Robert, very much for this really impressive talk. As I mentioned, you right now we will have the possibility to raise a few questions, and the discussion will be postponed until the end of the next talk. So, who has got some questions? Pavel, please.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for the impressive talk, especially this one slide with the light blue column on the landscape of other neutron sources. It's really impressive. So. But nevertheless, I would like to ask you about the one point at least. As follows from your list of publications, activity, and then from general how to say, flow of your talk, the structure studies are dominated at the moment here. And the point is, what is the case for other world neutron sources? Is this the same or a little bit different, first? And second, how you estimate the tendency in this sense, relation between structure and dynamics, for example, in future?
So I know at the different centers, these the ratio between the structure and dynamics is different. It depends, of course, on the model, on the source, right? So on the property of the source, whether it's a steady-state reactor, whether it's a pulsed source. So when we look at the pulsed sources, spectroscopy is sort of at other institutes have quite a have larger part than it is in our case here in Dubna. How this will be, what kind of trend this will have in the future? Well, I was saying that inelastic scattering, looking at the dynamics, should be and it is definitely one of the research that can be very easily done with neutrons, and it should be one of the directions in the future source at our institute and other places as well. I would think that it will be the general trend.
Thank you very much. Further questions? I would have a question myself. At one of the first slides, maybe around the 10th, you have shown a pie diagram. I could not really see. No, maybe before, maybe still. This one, yeah. Okay. And as far as I see, bioscience is around 1% or 6%, yeah. Yes. Is this the IBR2 distribution, or what it is?
This is, yes. These are the data coming from the experiments at IBR2.
Bioscience 6%, that's really surprisingly low. Thanks a lot. Okay.
Surprisingly low or high?
Low. It's few. Okay. Further questions?
I have a question.
Oh, yes, Boris.
The condensed matter physics with neutron sources is developing in a very tough competitive environment. There is a recent progress in synchrotron radiation sources, and in particular in free electron lasers, X-ray lasers, with fantastic time and spatial resolution. Could you please specify what kind of new features will give the new neutron source, allowing to keep the leadership in the neutron source as a condensed matter physics pillar?
Right. Well, as I have shown already, the comparison between the fluxes on neutron sources and X-ray sources. Definitely the neutron sources, even the future neutron source that we are planning to build here in Dubna, will not achieve those fluxes. So the high fluxes will stay at least with the technology that we know at the moment, will stay the domain of synchrotron or X-ray sources. On the other hand, I have said also that it's not really fair to compare one-to-one just the fluxes, right? Just the level of the fluxes, because there are very specific properties of neutrons that give them advantage, right? It's definitely the magnetic moment that neutrons can easily relate, can easily measure the magnetic properties of material. This can be done today with synchrotron radiation too, but it's not direct observation because, of course, X-rays don't interact on the magnetic level. They just show the structure of the material, of the crystals, and from that can be somehow deduce the material properties. But it's not a direct observation as it's done with these neutrons. Well, the electrostatic interaction of X-rays makes it very prohibitive to go into bulks, into large pieces of material. So again, that's the advantage for the neutrons. These are the properties. These are the features of neutrons that are known for many years now and that are using over and over. So I'm not going to say that there is anything new about this, but nevertheless, I mean, this is the advantage that neutrons have in comparison with X-rays, and we shouldn't be ashamed of using this advantage.
Thank you very much. Are there still very urgent questions? Because may I remind you that we are already 5 minutes behind schedule. This does not seem to be the case, so you are now invited. Yes, thanks once again, Norbert. And you are now invited for a coffee break. It will be 20 minutes, so please reconvene by no means later than 11:25.